Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard across the East End on 96.9 FM in Western Suffolk. I'm Michael Mackey. Documents published by a group taking responsibility for the ransomware attack on Suffolk County government, including speeding tickets, contracts with county vendors, and a handwritten marriage license from 1908. All those items and more are included in the ransomware attack and what these cyber attackers have taken, according to a Newsday review of the materials. Vera Chinesi reports on Newsday.com that such documents, which in some cases show the names, addresses, and dates of birth of county residents, could contain increasingly sensitive information as hackers press their demands, one cybersecurity expert said. Steve Morgan, founder of Cybersecurity Ventures in Northport, which provides data and research to the information technology industry, said ransomware hackers sometimes will start by leaking less sensitive data in what they consider to be a show of good faith to open ransom negotiations. They're putting data out to try to provide evidence that we have your data and we're willing to put your data out, but without putting out anything that would be too compromising to scare the county, Morgan told Newsday yesterday. Morgan said hackers could continue to leak increasingly sensitive information to ramp up pressure on the county. The worst of what they have is the less of what they would get published, Morgan said. Suffolk County took down its web-based applications and websites on September 8th following a cyber attack on county computer systems. An updated posting Monday said the hackers were seeking an unspecified small reward. Albany County District Attorney David Soares and the New York State Board of Elections are moving forward with an investigation into alleged elections fraud involving the effort to get Republican nominee for governor, Congressman Lee Zeldin, on a third-party line on ballots for the November 8th general election against Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul. Zach Williams in the New York Post reports that at the center of the probe is ex-con John Hagerty Jr., who went to jail for ripping off former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg's campaign. Hagerty was reportedly the key player in the effort to secure the Independence Party line for Zeldin, the Shirley Long Island congressman. Hagerty is alleged to have used 11,000 photocopied signatures to meet the 45,000 name threshold to get Zeldin the additional party line, the Times Union revealed Sunday. Nothing could have gone out the door without his knowledge, an anonymous GOP source told the Upstate newspaper. Zeldin's campaign was not involved in submitting the photocopied signatures. Hagerty spent more than a year in the slammer after he was convicted of money laundering and grand larceny for stealing about $750,000 from the 2009 re-election campaign of New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Browning lawns may give way to much browner leaves this autumn, thanks to Long Island's still severe drought, but September could prove a catch-up month with enough rain to ease conditions, according to experts. There is even a remote chance Hurricane Fiona, still deluging Puerto Rico, might dampen the East Coast and possibly New York later this week. Two of the National Hurricane Center's 23 models for the storm's track show it might sweep up the eastern seaboard from the Carolinas, said Mark William Wysocki, a senior lecturer of Earth and Atmospheric Sciences at Cornell University and New York State's climatologist. In the world of betting, that's what we call outliers, he said. The MTA will deploy a dedicated unit of police officers to ride on LIRR trains in response to growing safety concerns among Long Island Railroad riders and employees, the department's top cop said yesterday. Alfonso A. Castillo reports on Newsday.com that the train patrol unit will include about 60 officers dedicated exclusively to riding LIRR and Metro North trains, Metropolitan Transportation Authority Police Commissioner John Muller announced at a meeting of the MTA board. The unit, made up of existing staff, is expected to begin its work in January. Quote, "We've heard what the public has been asking for, which is a train patrol and a stronger and more robust presence. So that's what this does," said Muller, acknowledging the Long Island Railroad's continued efforts to attract riders that it lost during the pandemic. Weekday ridership is approximately 70% of pre-COVID levels. It's going to be an entire package of visibility and addressing quality of life, said Commissioner Mueller. Major crimes on the LIRR were up by 73% through August, from 45 crimes in the first 8 months of 2021 to 78 during the same period this year. The MTA defines major crimes as murder, rape, robbery, felony assault, burglary, grand larceny, and grand larceny auto. Mueller said the officers will begin their days at 5 a.m. at stations on Long Island, ride the train into New York City terminals, then make the return trip back during the evening rush. A luxury hotel on the site of the former Grassmere Inn in West Hampton Beach has been awarded $690,512 in tax breaks by Suffolk County. James T. Madure reports on Newsday.com that in a unanimous vote last week, the county's Industrial Development Agency gave final approval for the tax aid to Melville-based developer WHBH Real Estate LLC in return for its investment of $11.6 million in the property and pledge to create about 14 jobs over 2 years. The amount of property tax savings is $224,587, or 22% over 10 years. But even with the tax aid, the project will generate nearly $600,000 more in property taxes over the next decade than if no improvements were made to the historic inn, according to an analysis by the Brooklyn-based consulting firm National Development Council. The project consists of restoring the Grassmere's main building, which dates back to the 1880s. The hotel is expected to open sometime next year. The Riverhead Town Board will move to grant board members the ability to participate virtually during public meetings if they are not physically available to attend in person. Alec Lewis reports on RiverheadLocal.com that the proposed local law allows members of a public body to participate online in the case of extraordinary circumstances, as long as notice is given and a public body has in-person quorum, which in the case of Riverhead Town governing bodies is 3 members. If a board member participates virtually, the public also has the right to participate virtually, the law states. The local law was drafted by the Committee on Open Government, a state entity, after an executive order permitting government meetings to be conducted virtually because of the pandemic was not renewed. Long Island's South Shore Estuary Reserve is an ecological wonderland whose vast natural resources must be managed, protected, and restored, state officials said yesterday as they released a 5-year plan that addresses coastal resiliency, water quality, climate change, and tourism. Robert Brodsky reports on Newsday.com that the estuary's comprehensive management plan, unveiled at Cedar Beach Marina in Babylon as part of National Climate Week, is a blueprint for preserving the South Shore's marine resources. Plan updates are typically released every half decade and serve as a guide for distributing project funding. In the past 21 years, state, federal, and local programs have provided more than $660 million in estuary reserve funding for nearly 460 projects. The plan's agenda will be partially funded with $1 million in annual state dollars, but local advocates must still lobby for critical federal infrastructure funding to help it reach completion. Implementation will be led by the New York Department of State, along with local officials, environmental advocacy groups, and business leaders. The plan was prepared by the South Shore Estuary Reserve Council with help from the Department of State. The council has representatives from the state and local governments, nonprofit and academic groups, and other local stakeholders. The South Shore Estuary Reserve, which is administered by the Department of State, includes numerous beaches, shallow bays, tidal marshes, and so forth between western Nassau and eastern Suffolk. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.